During the course of our discussion of the various means of knowledge, we have had occasion to speak of the highest mode of knowledge as being knowledge by identity. Knowledge by identity is when our consciousness is in full touch with the object of knowledge and has a spontaneous knowledge of the contents of that object. One does not have to make an effort, mental or any other, to know a thing. The consciousness just identifies itself with the object, and there is a self-aware knowledge that emerges from the contact. That is called knowledge by identity. There is another way, and that is the consciousness embraces the object, envelops the object, and studies it. Comes to know by a kind of comprehending action. That is called vijnana. The third is when the identity is pushed into the background and there is an operation by which the knower separates the known from himself and studies it, keeping the object in front. That what we would call the apprehending movement or the prajnana. And then there is the fourth. That is the contact of the senses. Our senses contact the object and knowledge ensues. It is not the contact of the physical senses, because the physical senses collect the data, they have to report to the minds and all that. But the subtler senses, the vital sense, the spiritual sense, or the mental sense. There is, the moment we want to know a thing, it immediately contacts it. That is called sanjnana. These three or four modes have been discussed at length by Sri Aurobindo in his commentary on the Kena Upanishad, though he refers to them in passing in the present chapter on this supramental sense. The point is, there is a knowledge that can be got sheerly through the senses. Only they have to be subtle senses. They do not need the instrumentation of reason, of discrimination and other mental apparatus. There is a spontaneous contact of the sense with the object. In day-to-day life, as things are organized at present, though we speak of the five senses, we know that those five senses have to report to the mind, and it is mind that builds the knowledge based upon the data of the other senses, hearing, seeing and all that, smelling. And that is why mind is called the sixth sense. In fact, it is the only real sense. There is a mental sense, and in the supramental consciousness there is also a sense. On each grade of our being there is a corresponding sense, and each sense as we rise higher is more free, less limited. And as the spiritual sense rises in its consciousness in purity, it becomes power of the spirit. Their sense does not mean something that we have to inhibit, we have to negate, as it is in the world of, in the life of ignorance. When the Upanishad speaks of our being aware of everything being Brahman, we see Brahman, we hear Brahman. It is not a metaphor, it is not a poetic figure, it is an actual experience of the spiritual sense. Sri Aurobindo was asked once what he meant by seeing Brahman everywhere. He said, when I look at this table, it is not a table for me. I see there actually Brahman in the form of a particular piece of furniture. It is not the tableness that strikes me, but Brahman in that form. This is the knowledge yielded by the spiritual sense. Better. Now, that is what is called the spiritual sense. But the supramental sense is something more, because it is based entirely upon the total truth. A spiritual sense may be based upon partial truths, but a supramental sense is based upon the total truth. And when it starts functioning, we see all as God and all in God, and the sense action that takes place is a manifestation of this knowledge. This knowledge pours itself in a dynamic form, and that is called the sense action. On our mental plane, when we go into trance or a tranced condition, we are superbly self-aware. When we come out in a waking condition, that awareness changes. We become aware of things as a manifestation of that consciousness. The consciousness is not self-gathered, but self-rolling. Both are true. But in the supramental state, there is that simultaneous knowledge. There is not a separate knowledge of self-awareness and a separate knowledge of other awareness. There is a simultaneous state of knowledge in which the self-aware gathered condition is always present, where the varied knowledge is there. And when the supramental sense starts functioning, it has a totality, a sense of truth, a largeness of range that extends even to things which are not yet in physical existence, because the senses are subtler. So they take cognizance of things which are in manifestation on a subtler plane, but not yet organized or seen by the physical eye in the physical existence. When the supramentalization starts, Sri Aurobindo describes, there is a complete transformation of all the parts of the being, gradually but steadily. As the supramental consciousness flows down, there is a constant downflow. And that downflow, at a certain stage, turns into an outflow. Outflow from the senses, outflow from the being and the faculties, in the universe around. And the third step, first the downpour of that consciousness, the outflow, and then the supramentalization. And this supramentalization extends even to the physical faculties, not only to the mind, not only to the heart, but even to the physical faculties. When the supramental sense sees or comes near a physical object, there is an automatic report, not only of the thing as it strikes a physical eye, but even what is behind, even what is above, even what is within. That is, by one stroke of action, it shows the supraphysical truth of a physical thing, not only the physical. It removes, eliminates the deforming element and looks into the soul of things and makes the knowledge of that indwelling soul, indwelling truth, undeformed as part of our knowledge of a thing. And this is not a labored knowledge. The supramental sense, yielding the supramental knowledge, uncovers the physical form in no time. But it does not ignore the physical form. It reports the physical element, the physical form, in its highest value, and also what is behind the form, what is the truth that activates that form, that also it brings forward. And here Sri Aurobindo mentions that the supramental sense reveals, adds a fourth dimension. We normally speak of three dimensions, but the supramental sense adds a fourth dimension concretely, and that is the dimension of a certain internality, which we normally ignore. And each one, each object is seen not as a separate unit by itself, but always as a part of the whole. When you see a thing, immediately it is revealed to you what part it plays, what is its part in the total scheme. So even things that are unpleasant, things that are ugly, they immediately, when their ugliness strikes, immediately you know why it is ugly, in what way it is serving the cosmic scheme by being ugly. The intention behind it immediately is revealed, so that your reaction is one of understanding, not one of disgust, not one of condemnation. And if this is then an outline is all that we can understand. If this is an outline of the supramental sight, the supramental sense here, sense seeing, sense supramental sense vision, the supramental hearing also, he says, it is always a part of the cosmic harmony. Whatever sounds you hear, whatever words you hear, always the things behind the word, behind the sound, they make an impact. And it is always the voice of the divine that you hear behind every sound, behind every word. And in afterwards. It is in that state, it is the infinite that is heard. The infinite as it expresses itself to the hearing. Also, the infinite in its silence. When you hear the word, you also hear the silence supporting that word. This is what is called the supramental hearing. There is an opening of new ranges of power, both in sight and hearing. Without making any effort, the subtler ranges open themselves in their full intensity. So apparently when a supramental person is seeing, he sees all that we see. But at the same time, he sees much that is behind, much that is above. So that his assessment of things, his evaluation of things is bound to be different from ours, mentally governed human beings, who see only the surfaces of things, who hear only the outermost speech. And this is where he says, even discordant elements reveal their rasa, their part of the delight of existence. Immense ranges open up before the embodied mind. The physical senses find their fields enlarged. And not only the physical field, but the supramental sense takes note of the enlargement of the life range, the life energies, their origins, their field, their actions. All of them are open to the cognizance of the supramental sense, even as the physical energies and the physical workings are to a great extent to us. But that is not the end. Even the vital sense is spiritualized. So what Sri Aurobindo calls this supramentalization of the vital, that adds an undeformed truth dimension to the life ranges. And he adds that the supramental awakes in us the consciousness that builds up or that supports the vital chi, the prana kosha, that is, our physical body is able to move, is able to function because of the vital body that supports it. Now, when the supramental sense starts functioning, we become aware of the vital sheath, the vital body, as concretely as we are conscious of the physical body. There is practically no gulf experience between the physical and the vital energies, so that there is a constant streaming of the life energies in the body, streaming not only from our own vital self, but from the universe around. One is conscious of the interchange that is going on between the universal life energies and the individual life energy, between the energies of myself and the energies of particular people which are pouring in. I can stop them outside before they enter and do mischief, can control them. And that is, with the enlargement of the range, there is also the enlargement of the control of the power. With the growth of the supramental sense, all these take place one after another. Each has its own action on every level of the being. The limitations of personal life are broken down, and man feels himself standing in the midst of an ocean, ocean of mental energies, ocean of life energies, as fixed point giving solidity to the individual frame in the midst of physical energies. And as the supramentalization proceeds, the vital energies reveal themselves as currents of a universal Shakti, a universal power. And that universal power also, as the supramentalization proceeds and our sensitivity increases, reveals itself as the Chit Shakti, that is, the consciousness force of the transcendent, who is also the universal, and of which both the transcendent and the universal, the individual is an instrument. So there is a continuous linkage between the transcendental, universal and the individual. That is vertical, you can say. Horizontally also, there is a live interchange with the ocean of energies around. There is nothing hidden from the supramental sight. There is no word that cannot be heard, no speech that cannot be heard by the supramental hearing. Sri Aurobindo wrote these chapters somewhere before 1920. Now, in the sonnets, On the same subject that he wrote, say, about 16, 17 years later, the same idea is there in a more expressive form. For instance, he speaks the divine hearing. All sounds, all voices have become thy voice. Music and thunder and the cry of birds, life's babble of her sorrows and her joys, cadence of human speech and murmured words, the laughter of the seas, enormous mirth, the winged plane purring through the conquered air, the auto's trumpet song of speed to earth, the machine's reluctant drone, the siren's blare, blowing upon the windy horn of space, a call of distance and of mystery, memories of sunbright lands and ocean waves, all now are wonder tones and themes of thee. A secret harmony steals through the blind heart, and all grows beautiful because thou art. That one single expression, that all is the voice of God, he has developed into one sonnet. Similarly, there is the divine sight. Each sight is now immortal with thy bliss. My soul through the rapt eyes has come to see. A veil is rent, and they no more can miss the miracle of thy world epiphany. Into an ecstasy of vision caught, each natural object is of thee a part, a rapture symbol from thy substance wrought, a poem shaped in beauty's living heart, a masterwork of color and design, a mighty sweetness born on grandeur's wings, a burdened wonder of significant line reveals itself even in commonest things. All forms are thy dream dialect of delight, O absolute, O vivid, infinite. Then last is the divine sense. Surely I take no more an earthly food, but eat the fruits and plants of paradise. For thou hast changed my senses habitude from mortal pleasure to divine surprise. Hearing and sight are now an ecstasy, and all the fragrances of earth disclose a sweetness matching in intensity odor of the crimson marble of the rose. In every contact, deep invading thrill that lasts as if its source were infinite, I feel thy touch, thy bliss imperishable is crowded into that moment of delight. The body burns with thy rapture's sacred fire, pure, passionate, holy, virgin of desire. Significantly, someone met me yesterday and gave a sentence or two which the mother had spoken somewhere in 1970 when there was some discussion about a saint, a Tamil saint, who is said to have conquered death, but all the same he died. So when mother was asked an explanation, she said there is something in the atmosphere which brings about death as long as things are what they are. Then she proceeded to say this one: what is important for those who are here now is to develop their consciousness of the physical world so that they are conscious of it without the physical organs, eyes, ears, fingers, etc. And this is perfectly possible. That is, one must develop the faculty of being conscious on the physical plane without making use of the physical senses. It is not that we will see only when the eyes are open. We will hear only through the physical ears. We will feel the touch only through our fingers. She says it is possible, and we must develop our consciousness, the sense, the supramental sense ultimately, so that we are conscious of things even without the exercise of limbs, even when the senses do not function physically. And then she added, when this is achieved, then, this is in 70, when the body goes, the body goes. That is, the consciousness remains. The physical body, it doesn't serve a purpose of being necessary to get contact of things. The senses are no more necessary. So you can be conscious of things, you can act upon things without using the physical senses. So she says, when the body goes, the body goes. She remains. The being remains. The consciousness remains. The body is not. This is exactly what has happened. That is why people feel she is there. Nobody feels mother is gone. Why? Because her being is here, the body is gone. So this, I thought, has come in a very apposite way when we are discussing the supramental sense. Still there is one section in the supramental sense, the third, I believe, which we shall take up next time. All that we are discussing is only to give us an idea of how things can be. This is not an exact description or transcription of the functioning of the supramental sense. But compared to what we are, compared to how the mental senses function, this gives an idea. Now, what is the question that you ask?
No, meaning by the touch too. The first one was when one hears the music which
But you must have that sense. If I still find something discordant, that means my consciousness has not developed yet to catch that rhythm in it which gives it a reason for existence. We have not yet reached that stage. Yes, the divine can see why it is there. the existence of the asura, existence of the adverse forces, that has a role to play in the cosmic game. Similarly, anti-divine music and anti-divine things also have their role, though a contrary role. It is in that context, what is the value of negative things in the world? The negative things are to provoke the positive things, to build up the positive strengths. So as long as this world is subject to ignorance, the dualities are bound to be there. So, for instance, the jazz music, not jazz music, this pop music, well, it serves to stimulate certain types of senses.
Rock music,
not pop music. It still stimulates. Well, for the divine, it shows the areas which are still crude, which are still to be fashioned, developed. It shows. So, this is just an illustration. Just as when we go to a dentist, they keep a dark color blotting paper or some marking paper between the teeth and they ask you to bite. Well, it makes the whole thing dark. But for the dentist, he knows exactly the portion that has to be chiseled because it touches on the other tooth. And he knows because of that black mark. So, but black, you can say, is deforming, but he makes use of it. If pure white, he won't understand. So, for the divine artisan, even these contrary things have an indicatory value.
I have a question.
Yes?
I had the idea that knowledge by identity was
the
same thing as
I don't follow. Please.
I had the idea that knowledge by identity was exactly the same thing as vijnana.
No. Vijnana is a comprehending action. It is an action. It is an action. Knowledge by identity is not an action. It is a state of existence. So, vijnana, the supramental reason comes into it comes into play. Whereas knowledge by identity is something still higher.
We know that, we say that sound is the originator, so to speak, one philosophy. And we know the supermind is where the origin of creation is, mental light, rather than supermental sound. That's the creation.
There is vision and hearing, revelation and inspiration. So these are aspects, two movements of the same truth. There is the supramental seeing, supramental hearing, supramental light, supramental world. The light shows, reveals, the word creates, but each is implicit in the other. You mean to say the supramental beings of the supramental world who don't have physical organs?
Because they're different from that world.
Yes, but they don't need our physical organs.
Yeah, so what do they have to do with the physical thing at present?
They're helping. the physical to be supramentalized. All those planes, beings, they have all been created in the downward course in order to help the creation in its upward course. Sri Aurobindo speaks of the parallel stairs. Each descent creates certain beings, certain planes, which help the return journey to be possible.
In the supernatural thinking, instead of karma, our consciousness is conscious. In supernatural sense, instead of contact, of senses, with the substance.
Substance with substance, you can say. Consciousness solidified, congealed, that is substance. Consciousness densified, if you can use that word at all, you see, concretized, that is substance.
Last one. In supramental thinking, indirectly, would it be more in line with six aspects, supramental sense?
Supramental sense will be more in correspondence with the delight principle. Supramental thinking will be in correspondence with the chit. Supramental action will be in correspondence with the force aspect, the Sat Chit Chit Tapas. The basic reality of the supramental person, his existence corresponds to the Sat. His existence, his being corresponds to the Sat. His thinking and knowledge corresponds to Chit. His dynamic action corresponds to chittapas. His sense corresponds to the delight of the bliss aspect.
When you said that from the sound that is created, while light is revelation, then when one has a vision and one painted, it is also created, not only sound.
Creative in the sense it reveals certain truths. It reveals. The stress is on revelation. A picture, a successful painting reveals certain things. It brings before the consciousness certain patterns or formations. But that by itself doesn't create in a concrete sense. An engineer sees a diagram, it reveals to him, but thereafter he has to go ahead in translating it into concrete terms.
On all levels.
Sound is a concentration of expressive energies at all levels, on all levels.
And it must be possible while uttering or saying certain thoughts that physical things appear, really.
The mother says when you do it consciously, they do manifest on the subtler planes. To produce on the physical plane, our consciousness is not strong enough. It is not strong enough. In that case, every one of us would have been a Ishvara or a creator of the world.
Develop your senses and then read the Bible, the Bible. Did she mean beginning lower occult part progressively higher and higher and higher, which is what all these yogis develop in your other senses, ascending from the lowest occult to the highest.
We start where we are. Each one starts where he is. If you are mentally more conscious, you start with the mental senses. It depends. But the senses as they are to be taken as the starting point. And by becoming more and more conscious, they develop. I think it is enough.
Here continues M46 of 11-1-1976.